Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for standing by, and welcome to the Insurance Small Business Tele-Town Hall. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. If you should require assistance during today's call, please press star then zero, and an operator will assist you offline. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, State Senator Tom Umberg. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, and thank everyone for joining. We have some really important issues to discuss, and fortunately we have some folks who are quite knowledgeable to assist us in that discussion. You know, the COVID pandemic has affected every person in California, and for those that own a small business, maybe even more profoundly than others. And there's tremendous pain that exists throughout the state. You know, I represent the 34th Senate District, which consists of Santa Ana, Anaheim, Garden Grove, Fountain Valley, Westminster, Huntington Beach, Long Beach, right next to Commissioner Ricardo's home turf. And we've been hit very, very hard. The fact that, Disneyland is not operational has had second and third order impacts throughout the district, not just the folks who work Disneyland, but also those that are supported by Disneyland and the tourism industry. So tonight, we have Insurance Commissioner. First, we have Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara, and I'm really pleased that he's taken the time to speak with all of us. He's incredibly busy, and he's also incredibly talented. Commissioner Lara and I overlapped in the Senate for about 30 days. He left at a very good time before people started throwing things at us from the gallery and before we started, you know, sort of these intermittent recesses, which are incredibly disruptive. He's done an excellent job as insurance commissioner, as you would expect. He came from very humble means. He was raised in East Los Angeles by immigrant parents. He earned a BA in journalism and Spanish in Chicano studies at San Diego State University. He's the first openly gay statewide elected official in California's history. He served in the California Assembly from 2010 to 2012 and in the Senate from 2012 to 2018. As a senator, he engineered the successful statewide campaign to allow for multilingual education in California schools. He was also one of the key leaders behind a landmark effort to grant driver's licenses to those who are undocumented here in California. And I just learned that during the COVID crisis, he has developed a new, I don't know if it's a skill or characteristic, that he's become a plant dad. I'm very curious as to what that is, but I'm told by his staff that he is a newfound and successful plant dad. So, Commissioner Lara, if you could take it away for a few moments, I would be most grateful.
Thank you, Senator Umberg. How are you, my friend? I hope you're doing well.
How do I look? How do I look? Do I look all right?
You look great. You look great, as always.
All right. So do you. So do you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I'm very proud of my three plants that I've been able to keep alive during, the staying at home order. So, you know, they're alive and well, and I'm a proud plant dad. Yes. Well, thank you again for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I'm happy to join you today to share some resources for our small businesses and give you and your constituents an update on the work we have been doing on their behalf. Since the pandemic started, you know, we've been really busy. And one way that the Department of Insurance is supporting our fellow Californians during this time is by ensuring accurate and timely information and services when it comes to the insurance needs of our communities. And then, you know, as you know, during these difficult times, there's plenty of insurance needs. Together, we have a lot of work to do to assist businesses and their workers as we continue to try to cope with this pandemic and the future of our economy and our state, similar stuff that you've been working on in the Senate. So, you know, I wanted to briefly mention a couple of things that we've been doing. I've taken a number of steps to help our businesses and our consumers, including ordering insurance companies to return a portion of premiums to businesses and drivers affected by the pandemic. This directive applies to the following lines of insurance. Many of you have heard the news has primarily covered the the private passenger automobile lines, which is your private passenger auto insurance line, where I directed the insurance companies to return a portion of those premiums. But it also includes commercial automobile. It includes workers' compensation. It includes commercial multi-peril, commercial liability, medical malpractice, and any other line of coverage where the risk has become substantially overstated as a result of the pandemic. I'm proud to say that to date, as a result of my directive, California automobile insurance companies have returned roughly $1.2 billion to California drivers. And that $1.2 billion includes more than $1 billion in premium relief for over 18 million drivers. And this includes the first 3 months, essentially the start of the pandemic since March, and an additional $180 million in savings on future rate increases that insurance companies had to reduce in response to my order. And I'm proud to say that my action goes farther than any other state by including businesses where the risk of loss has fallen as a result of the pandemic. So that is hopefully putting some much-needed money back into the pockets of our business owners. If you want to know what relief your company, your insurance company is providing, you can go to our website and see reports that they've submitted to our department at insurance.ca.gov. My department is currently reviewing all of the reports we received from insurance companies about how much premium they are returning for commercial policies. We're going to verify the amounts, and we want to make sure that those amounts are sufficient for our business owners. I expect that these savings for consumers are going to continue to grow as these stay-at-home orders remain in place and as we still try to grapple with this unfortunate, you know, worldwide pandemic. I've also extended my order of premium relief as long as the risk of accident and loss is lower due to the pandemic. And so we encourage any business owner to contact our department at 1-800-927-4357. If you have any questions, if you haven't received a reimbursement, or they have any questions in terms of what lines of insurance are we mandating that insurance companies return portion of your premium, you can also visit us at our website at insurance.ca.gov. In addition to getting premium money back to businesses, there are a few other major issues we are monitoring, including business interruption insurance. My department has received a number of complaints regarding claims for business interruption insurance related to COVID-19 closures. Many of the businesses have looked into their insurance policies for possible coverage. As you know, each policy is the legal contract between the business owner and the insurance company. And since early March, we have seen dozens of lawsuits around the country, including in California, which concern the interpretation of these policies and whether these policies cover losses due to the pandemic. I can tell you we are monitoring these cases as we move through the courts. Meanwhile, you know, we've taken some significant steps to address business interruption. For example, we have learned that some insurance companies were denying business interruption claims without in a thorough investigation, or even discouraging businesses from even filing a claim, and that to me is simply unacceptable. In response to the numerous complaints from businesses, public officials, and stakeholders, I am requiring insurance companies to comply with their contracts and California law by thoroughly investigating every single business interruption claim caused by COVID-19, just as it would any other disaster, by the way, whether that's, you know, a fire, earthquake, or a flood. My department will again once again be watching to make sure that they do everything to ensure that people and businesses are getting a fair claim. Lastly, I just want to urge businesses to be on the lookout for fraud and insurance scams. Unfortunately, during these times is when we see businesses targeted for fraud. If you see any red flags or suspicious activity, please report it to the Department of Finance. Many people do not know that we have over 300 sworn investigators and enforcement personnel with 9 regional offices across the state. We have one of our offices there in Orange. And so, again, I would just also tell businesses to be on the alert for those offering bogus workers' compensation policies. You can verify the legitimacy of an agent's license on our website. And again, report any suspicious activity to our department at 1-800-927-4357. And like many of our Californians, our team is working from home to stay safe, but we continue to provide essential services for California consumers, and we are all available on our phone at 1-800, again, 927-4357, or through our website to assist you and assist you with your claims, albeit your personal insurance matters or your business insurance matters. Again, don't hesitate to call us. We are ready to help you, and I look forward to answering your questions. Thank you again, Senator Umberg. Really appreciate your time and for us being here.
Well, thanks, Commissioner Lara. And your reputation as a hardworking problem solver, it persists in the Senate. So you should know that you left a mark that is enduring. So
Thank you. Those of us
in the elective office, I think that's the most we can ask for, is that we leave a mark and we improve the plight of Californians, and I know you're doing so, especially right now. And thank you for mentioning business interruption insurance. That's a question that we frequently get asked. It's a complicated question, but I heard what you said, that if you believe that you have business interruption insurance, you should be persistent. And if you're not satisfied, you should call the commissioner's office to see what can be done about making sure that you get the benefit of your contract. You're paying for it, right? So
absolutely.
Also, thank you. We got our credit for our automobile insurance, so I personally thank you for that. And since
that's
we're
great.
All sitting at home, other than me driving back and forth occasionally to Sacramento, I'm glad you're doing that. For business owners out there, also, let me remind you that in terms of opening and what the specific regulations are for businesses, you should go to COVID-19, COVID-19.ca.gov, and there will be information there, as well as for Orange County. If you go to the county website, you'll find information as well. And we're going to, for those of you who are listening, we're going to get to some specific questions that have been provided earlier where you have written in, and we've got some really excellent questions here. But I want to introduce a couple other people before we get to those questions. And the first is Mr. Godfrey Hines from the Small Business Administration, the U.S. Small Business Administration. Mr. Hines is the lead economic development specialist for SBA's Orange County Inland Empire office. And he leads a team of specialists dedicated to support SBA's focus of ensuring small business owners have the tools, resources, and relationships needed to succeed. Mr. Hines has been there since December of 2019. You joined at a challenging time, Mr. Hines, God love you, coming from the United States Department of Agriculture Rural Development, and he has served our nation in a number of different capacities in a number of different areas, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Texas, U.S. Virgin Islands. That does not sound like tough duty, though, the U.S. Virgin Islands, to build partnerships and to encourage, enable, and enhance businesses, small businesses in particular. And he's dedicated to creating prosperity. So, Mr. Hines, if you're with us, if you wouldn't mind saying a few words, I'd be grateful.
Yes, good evening, Senator, and thank you for having me. It is with great pleasure that I'm here to represent not only the U.S. Small Business Administration, but specifically the Office of Orange County Inland Empire here in Santa Ana, California. As you may know, the SBA was entrusted with the responsibility of providing a response to the economic injury that our small businesses suffered due to the COVID-19. And basically, we developed, implemented, and executed two programs. The first program was the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, which came on board early middle March, and it provided loans for financial assistance, mainly capital, business operating expenses, to several of our small businesses. Now, that application and that program is directly with the SBA. Today, we still have funds in that program. It's anticipated that we should have funds until the end of December, so any small business that is suffering or has suffered and has not applied, you can apply to that program. The maximum is $2 million. It is a loan of 3.75% interest up to 30 years, and your first payment is deferred for an entire year. So that gives you an opportunity to get your business back together. And if you don't need those funds after all, you can always repay that. So that was our economic injury disaster program. The second program that most of you may know about is our payroll protection program. And basically, as it stated, it was to help businesses keep their employees on the payroll. And I'm happy today to state that throughout the state of California, in PPP, as we commonly call it, which is Payroll Protection Program, the SBA has expended about $68 billion in that program and saving hundreds of thousands of jobs here in the state of California. In Orange County, the impact has also been tremendous. Senator, we have a detailed report that I'd be glad to provide to your office so that you can see the impact among your constituents. So these are the two programs that we were entrusted to bring on board and provide assistance. We did in 2 weeks what the SBA had never loaned in the past 10 years. So it was brought on in a hurry with changes, but we did save a lot of our small businesses and small business jobs. Now, as we go on today, small businesses are still facing challenges, and I would like every business owner, you also, Senator, and your constituents to be aware of the fact that the SBA is here 365 days a year, not only during times of disaster, but we have a wide array of programs that can help young or any entrepreneur to start a business, grow that business, expand, and get to the point of exports. We have loan programs to cover every facet of your business's development to include exportation, funds for exportation. So we should all know about the SBA, know that it's the primary agency of the federal government that responds to the need of our small business community. However, we're not alone in this endeavor. We have partnerships with funded partners such as CORE and the Small Business Development Center that provide counseling and mentorship on a one-to-one basis to our business community. And the greatest part about it, these services are free. So any of your business's needs, from business plan to assistance with completing your applications for the payroll protection or the economic injury, well, sorry, the payroll protection ended on August the 8th. So we're just hoping that we can get an extension and get our businesses some additional assistance. But the Small Business Development Center and SCORE is there to assist you with counseling services, consulting, which is free, or mentorship that is also free. We also have a Women's Business Center, and we have a Veterans Development Center also. So the SBA is here for you. We have the services, the tools, the partnerships, and the services that we can assist your small business need any day of the year. And once again, thank you for having me. Look forward to giving you more information later.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hines. I appreciate it. We're going to have some questions for you. I see that they're already teed up here. So let me next introduce Stephanie Nguyen Vu, board member of the Garden Grove Chamber of Commerce. And she has extensive experience in human resources. For over the past 20 years, she's advised hundreds of small and large companies on their employee benefits insurance programs and educated and assisted thousands of employees and businesses concerning health insurance and other insurance needs. From 2014 to 2019, Ms. Nguyen Vu was the owner of Nest Egg Insurance Services, a small brokerage firm located in Garden Grove that helped small and mid-sized companies with their employee benefits programs. In 2019, just a year ago, Ms. Nguyen Vu merged her company with Burnham Benefits Insurance Services, a California-based full-service employee benefits consulting and brokerage firm with offices throughout California and the ability to serve clients nationwide. It's a certified B Corporation and woman-owned business and has received national recognition as one of the best places to work. Also been recognized by both Orange County Business Journal as well as the Los Angeles Business Journal. Burnham Benefits has over 600 clients with more than $2 billion in premiums. Oh, my goodness. Let me turn it over to Ms. Nguyen Vu for an introduction, and then we will move to questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator Umberg, for the introduction. And I'm actually Stephanie Nguyen Yu, not Boo, just so you know. My husband's last name is Yu. So good afternoon, everyone. I'm Stephanie Nguyen Yu. I'm honored to be on the call today along with you, Senator, and our state's insurance commissioner, Laura. Now, COVID-19 has brought like an unprecedented challenges to the business across the U.S. I'm a board member. I'm a representative of the Garden Grove Chamber of Commerce. I'm also a benefits broker with clients in Garden Grove. And today I wanted to express like the concerns from the Garden Grove business community. You know, our chamber consists of many industries. You know, we have manufacturing, retail, restaurants, hotels, the salons, nonprofit, and, you know, many other service type companies. Now, Senator Umberg mentioned that our city is next to Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm. So since the closure of those parks, you know, it hurts so many small businesses in that area, especially restaurants and hotels. We all know that all these small businesses, you know, have been struggling to stay afloat. Now, they still have payroll, they have an office or building leases, and even insurance to pay for. You know, even though many have applied, you know, and received a PPP loan, they also receive, I remember some of my clients did receive the premium credit for their insurance. The problem is that's not enough. You know, business owners are still anxious. Now, they're wondering, will we be able to pay back the loan? Will it be forgiven? You know, is there any other grants or resources to help pay their insurance or to keep their business going? You know, will there be frivolous lawsuits in the future? You know, what's our state government really doing to help reopen the economy? I mean, there's so many questions that are circling around, and some business owners are not even sure if they're going to stay alive until the end of the year. You know, I'm just hearing this from my chamber members and clients. So I'm really glad to be part of this call today, because I think the questions we're about to ask the insurance commissioner, as well as the SBA representative, Mr. Hines, applies to, you know, not only the Garden Grove business community, but it applies to all small businesses in California. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on this call.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your contribution to the community and the support you give to so many businesses. Let's turn to the questions. The first question we have is for Commissioner Lara, and it is about business liability. This is a critical issue as we move forward. So, Commissioner Lara, if restaurants can open their business, meet all the sanitation requirements, and are able to set their tables outside the restaurants and properly distance, and someone gets COVID, how does the company protect themselves from any frivolous lawsuit? Is there insurance for COVID lawsuits? How does that all work?
Yeah, thank you. Great question. So insurance against lawsuits is part of the liability portion of your policy. And I know liability due to COVID exposure is really a legitimate concern, and so many of our businesses that we've talked to continue to express this issue. You know, I understand the burdens being placed on businesses as they attempt to reopen while still keeping their employees and customers safe. You know, it's a lot. It's really a lot to deal with. And it's not an understatement to say that, you know, there are lives at stake as well. And so these are very difficult times. I would say as you reopen, the Department of Insurance is going to be watching closely to make sure that insurance companies are giving you as much flexibility as possible. As a business owners, and that they are fully abiding by their contract. And so we are on the side of our businesses to make sure that insurance companies are abiding by their contract and are giving you maximum flexibility during these difficult times. You know, I think businesses should follow the governor's resiliency roadmap, and as well as local guidelines for what processes the business must follow, that will go a long way toward helping us, you know, lead through this pandemic. One thing I also want to say is you should also, this is the perfect opportunity for a business owner to have a conversation with their agent and insurance company to get guidance regarding how to safely return to business, and also to make sure businesses have the right coverage in place. It is key that a business owner understands what type of liability coverage they have, and also what flexibility you have, and understand exactly what they're covered for and what some exemptions might they might have in their policy, it's important for them to understand that, again, look, we know that businesses, their number one concern is keeping the doors open, keeping their customers coming in, and keeping everybody safe, and getting our economy back on track. You know, insurance is difficult. So if any business owner has, you know, needs an expert from the department to help them decipher their coverage, or if they're not satisfied with the answers you're getting from your agent or your broker, give us a call. We speak multiple languages, and you're going to speak to an actual insurance expert that can help walk you through not only your policy, but what options you should be, which you should have, and what you should be considering in your particular business. Again, I'm going to repeat this number over and over again, but I want you to have it. It's 1-800-927-4357. Thank you.
Thank you, Ricardo. I'll just underline something you had said, is that's what the commissioner's office does. They're being overwhelmed right now, but I know from leadership at the top that they are dedicated to serving Californians. And when you have a disagreement with your carrier, you're sued, and you have a disagreement as to what's covered and whether they should be covering the cost of litigation to include attorneys, that's when you should seek help from the commissioner's office. We're also here. They're the experts, but we're also here in our office to help constituents that have issues with whether it's unemployment or if you do have something with your insurance carrier, we can direct you to the commissioner's office. So I'm going to give you our number as well, and that is area code 714-558-3785. And when this pandemic passes, you can come visit us at our district office, which is located at the Santa Ana train station. So we're on the second floor of Santa Ana train station. So next, Ms. Nguyen, if you want to take over the next question.
Sure. So the second question is, what if small businesses are unable to pay back their PPP loan? And then I heard that part of the loan can be forgiven. Have you considered forgiving all of their loans? This is a question from Mr. Hines, I believe.
Yes. Thank you very much, and that is an excellent question. Part of the payroll protection or the PPP program, it has a built-in component to it where actually that loan can be forgiven up to 100%. There is certain requirements that have to be met in that the business should at least use 60% of their PPP loan funds for payroll expenses. They have the 40% can be used on rent, can be used on business interest and other non-payroll expenses. If those funds are utilized in that manner, then that business is eligible for 100% forgiveness of that payroll protection loan. So that shouldn't be a big concern to our businesses. The actual forgiveness part of it, it requires an application back to that lender. The application is currently posted on the SBA's website. And, you know, a lot of our banks and lenders are trying to set up their web portal where our businesses can apply directly to the bank in digital format rather than in paper format. But that loan can be forgiven 100%. If it is not forgiven 100%, whatever it remains, which may be a small part of it, that loan can be paid back over 2 years, depending if they got that loan prior to June the 5th, or 5 years after June the 5th. And the first payment is deferred for 6 months. It does not become a loan until the SBA actually settles the forgiveness part of it. So it is very favorable to our business community. It is eligible for 100% forgiveness, provided that 60%, at least 60%, is used on payroll. And the lender submits that forgiveness application to the SBA. It is reviewed. It is either approved or disposed back to the lender, and the lender gets with the borrower. So, yes, it is forgiven. It is eligible for forgiveness. And there are movements or proposals in Congress that may automatically forgive part of the loan, but we are not privy to that until it becomes law. But today, yes, these loans are eligible for 100% forgiveness. And as far as businesses not being able to pay, there is no personal or business guarantee to this loan. The loan is 100% guaranteed by the SBA. So basically, business loses really nothing if, you know, they could not pay the loan. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hines. Next question is for Commissioner Lara. This is a question from a medical provider. I was told that the carriers will pay for COVID-19 testing at the ER and other authorized facilities. However, we're having issues getting these tests paid by the carriers for patients with small group health insurance. Can the Department of Insurance work with the carriers to ensure that the billing system is updated to get these COVID-19 tests paid quicker?
Thank you. This is a good question. So I directed health insurance companies back in March to submit emergency plans detailing how they will continue access to continue give access to medically necessary healthcare services for the duration of the declared COVID-19 emergency. If a provider is having trouble receiving payment for the services, I would just tell them to just please give us a call so that we can determine if the insurance company is complying with our prompt payment law, which is already in place. CDI is urging all insurance companies to assure adequate availability of testing and prompt payment for that test. So if that's not the case, if that's not occurring, please give us a call at the number that I have been given, 1-800-927-4357, and we can investigate this issue as quickly as possible. Thank you.
So, Commissioner, you know, and I know you know this, that one of the great challenges here in this pandemic is testing, the availability of tests, the turnaround, and so forth. Is there anything that Department of Insurance is doing or can do to help in that area?
Well, you know, in our wheelhouse, we're just trying to make sure that what we've done is eliminated all the cost associated with the vaccine and the copays and so forth, and really have been trying to monitor the quick and prompt payment of the test for the medical providers. So, you know, we've been monitoring these cases. We haven't heard any complaints thus far, but it seems like, you know, maybe somebody in Orange County has been having problems, this particular medical provider. So I would just encourage them to call us, and then we can, you know, get our staff on it immediately and track this individual case.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
I have the fourth question.
Win you?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Okay, I have the fourth question. So we heard from state officials that COVID can be claimed on work comp. This is from a small business owner, and she's frustrated to hear that this would be allowed. Now, what is the Department of Insurance position on this issue? And we think it's wrong for employees to use COVID as a work comp injury because that would definitely increase costs each year. It should just stay under their medical insurance since that plan is supposed to be paid 100% by the carrier. So your response, Commissioner Lara?
Sorry, I was on mute. So all workers affected by COVID-19 on the job are eligible for workers' comp benefits, and whether or not they are considered essential workers. You know, that this includes workers engaged in frontline occupations, and Governor Newsom signed an executive order creating a presumption that a worker that contracted COVID-19 while on the job, if the worker is diagnosed with COVID-19 or tests positive within 14 days of performing labor or service at the place of work, you know, is covered. And the executive order, I should say, covered the period from March 19th to July 5th. So there's that's the time frame of this. But I have to say also for business owners, this is a rebuttable presumption, meaning that employers will have a chance to prove that their illness was not work-related. And again, as we know, workers' compensation also applies to our immigrant workers. When I was in the Senate, I did that bill to make sure that every Californian was covered for workers' compensation. And so I share the concerns about the cost of workers' compensation, which is why I issued the emergency workers' compensation regulation to really reflect the lower risk of worker injuries in light of the pandemic, because quite frankly, businesses right now have less workers, and the risk of injury is much less because, you know, of the dynamics within the pandemic we're living in. And these regulations will mandate insurance companies to recompute premium charges and that will result in savings for many of our businesses. So these new regulations do several things. First, premiums will be reduced because employers can now reclassify employees whose duties have changed to a clerical classification reflecting that employee's lower risk of injury when working from home. Next, the regulations lower workers' compensation premiums by excluding from premium calculations sick leave and family leave payments made to furloughed employees. And this change will thus lower employers' rates by reducing the amount of payroll assessed. And finally, the new regulation also includes COVID-19-related claims. It excludes these claims, these COVID-19 claims, I should say, from being included in future rate calculations. And many of the business owners don't know that. So I'm excluding these claims from being included in future rate calculations so that employers are not penalized when higher rates due to COVID-19 claims. So that should hopefully appease the individual who asked the question. And it was very purposeful because we want to make sure that we excluded COVID-19 cases from being used to calculate higher rates for workers' compensation. Thanks.
That's great. Thanks, Commissioner Lara. Thank you.
So this is a question for Mr. Hines. We in Orange County, particularly Garden Grove, are blessed with a large population of Vietnamese and Koreans who are entrepreneurs, hardworking small business people. And some of them have limited English speaking capability in terms of being able to compete and complete the SBA loan forms or grants. Do you have translation services? And if so, how much do they cost?
Well, thank you. And that's an excellent question. It has been a concern of ours for the last couple of months, especially during this crisis that we're enduring. The SBA does not have direct translator services. However, as far as informational and presenting information, if, you know, a business owner would go to our website on the web portal, there's a button up there that to the far right that allows them to translate our page into about 30 different languages, of which I think Vietnamese is one of them. So they can go to our webpage. It allows them to translate. They can read all the program information, know about the program. Unfortunately, the applications are in English, but we have our services available through our Small Business Development Center, who have multilingual counselors and consultants. And SCORE also has multilingual consultants assisting our businesses to fill out those applications. Also on our team, we do have individuals that speak various languages, so when we can and time permits, we usually assist these businesses. We have been scheduling and planning to have webinars catering directly to these groups and with translators sometimes on board, but it is something that we have recognized, and more so now we've recognized that need. And we're working hard to fulfill that need for reaching directly to all members of our business sector. Like I said initially, they can get the information on our website in their language. Unfortunately, the applications are all in English. So that is where we can get the assistance through our SCORE or the SBDC, or if we have an employee that can assist, we'd be glad to do that. There's no cost to the business owner for the services from SCORE nor the SBDC. So all of our services, all of our consulting and mentorship is provided free of charge. So there's no cost. If they would call us, they can call me. My number is 714 560-7441. We'd be glad to assist them in reaching one of our consultants that speaks their language of preference. Or they can email me and we'll do the same. My email is Godfrey, G-O-D-F-R-E-Y, dot Hinds, H-I-N-D-S, at sba.gov. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Godfrey. And this is Tom again. And I'm really fortunate to have an extremely talented, extremely hardworking, and extremely underpaid staff. You can just ask them. And we have Vietnamese speakers, fluent Vietnamese speakers. I think one of them's on the phone. Christy Lee's on the phone. And we also have fluent Spanish speakers with Richard Santana and a number of others in our office that speak fluent Spanish and Vietnamese. So call us. And if I haven't mentioned it, our number is 714-558-3785. Thanks. All right, let me now turn back to Ms. Nguyen Yu.
Thank you. So the sixth question we have is, so I have a business owner that asked, if and when the COVID vaccine is created, will our company's medical insurance cover these vaccinations for our employees or the public? Now, will they treat this medicine the same as any other medicine under our group health prescription plan? And will it be affordable for people to purchase? This is the question for you, Commissioner Lara.
Yes, thank you. You know, I that's a great question as we are all planning to figure out and hopefully get a vaccine soon. So, as you know, there's... Of course, there's currently no vaccine against COVID-19. At this point, we don't have any information regarding cost. The Federal CARES Act requires most plans to cover a COVID-19 vaccine when available without cost sharing if it is recommended by the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. Similarly, most plans must cover without cost sharing and any other COVID-19 preventative services that are recommended for use by the United States Preventative Service Task Force. So we anticipate that your company's health insurance will cover the cost of the vaccine. And that's hopefully that happens sooner rather than later.
Well, that's great news. Glad to hear that. Senator Umberg, your question?
Well, thank you. Another question. Commissioner Lott, you're very popular. Another question for you. So as was mentioned at the outset of the program, the hospitality industry has been dramatically impacted, particularly event planning here. And so some of the event planners and others have, you know, used, for example, their backyards or parks for things like weddings and parties. And I hope, by the way, that they're wearing face coverings and that they are socially distanced because they basically can't do it at a restaurant or a hotel anymore. Do these small businesses operating, you know, parties in their backyard or in parks, do they have to buy insurance?
Yeah, so if the business is now operating, let's say, from their home instead of a previous venue, or they should just make sure they comply with any zoning or any other laws that may impact or restrict doing business in residential areas. I know we've talked about people converting backyards and hosting these gatherings, and like you, Senator Umberg, I hope people are socially distancing and using their masks. But every small business should have some type of liability coverage in place to protect against injury or damage. As businesses reopen, and especially if they're changing how they operate to accommodate social distancing or other protections, they should have, again, a conversation with their agent or insurance company to get guidance regarding how to safely return to business and also to make sure they have the right coverage in place. So, you know, I know many people just get anxiety when I keep saying, call your insurance agent or call your broker, but that's exactly what we need you to do. And if you need help doing that, if you are, you know, limited speaking English, if you're speaking Vietnamese, we have folks that speak Vietnamese in our department that can help walk you through that process, as well as Korean and Spanish. And we would be more than happy to help walk you through what your insurance needs will be as you're kind of adjusting your place of business or how you're doing business during the pandemic. Thank you.
Okay, then I will proceed with a question for Mr. Hines. Mr. Hines, besides SBA loans, is there any other government resources or grants that small businesses can apply to?
Thank you. That is another wonderful question. Yes, the SBA has loans and services. I guess when, you know, we talk about loans, the SBA really is not a lender. The SBA is a guarantor, and that makes banks more friendly to our business community in providing those loans. So by providing that guarantee, the SBA encourages our business and our bank community to have that relationship where it makes the access to capital more favorable than normal. And also, when we're looking at the rates and terms, the SBA, by providing that guarantee, makes the rates and terms much more favorable to our business community. So if we're talking about business loans to our business community, then the SBA is their best option as far as rates and terms, having that guarantee, minimal down payment, if any at all, and giving those securities to the lender and encouraging them to make these loans to our business community. There are other means that are, you know, other programs that our businesses may use. If there are going to be loans, they're probably going to be more expensive. There are microloans through some of our community development entities. There can apply for lines of credit. One of the things that is commonly used, especially in our web-based businesses or online businesses, is venture capital. You know, that's up to each individual business to make that decision. Under the CARES Act, states were also given funds, and some of those funds were passed on to the counties and eventually ended up with some of our local cities and our municipalities. And a lot of our municipalities took that money and they provided our grant programs in the limited amounts. I think the most I've heard was $10,000. A lot of them are running at $2,500, and that's the grant assistance to our small business community. Other than that, the SBA also has other services where if a business receives a special classification, whether it be a minority, whether it be veteran or woman-owned, or whether it be in a special essential tract and have a special designation of a hub zone or whatever, these businesses can get preference. And one of the biggest things that I want to share with you is most of our business community is not aware that the federal government is probably the biggest purchaser of materials, supplies, and services. So there is that opportunity to secure contracts with the federal government and even at the state level. So by receiving certain classifications through the SBA, it gives these businesses a competitive advantage as far as applying for and, you know, gaining contracts not only with the federal government, but oftentimes with the state government. So there are a wide array of programs and services. Some are more favorable than others, but in the end, I would say the SBA's programs and services and the guarantees that we provide to the lenders makes it the best program for our small businesses.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Heim, I'm curious about the contract with the federal government. I have some clients that are manufacturing, and they had a shutdown and was having a lot of issues and also had to lay off people because they didn't have enough manufacturing to do. So I would be curious what that could, those contracts with the federal government are. So maybe we'll talk. I'll send you an email. Thank you.
Yeah, that would be great. Definitely. So we can get them on the right track.
Thank you.
Thanks. This is Tom again. Interesting question for Commissioner Lara. Does PPP loan insurance exist, and if so, is it recommended?
Yeah, generally there are insurance products that provide protection for loans for various reasons. Although I'm not aware of any insurance that specifically addresses PPP loans, but I would recommend you check with the bank that is handling the loan and also with the SBA folks who may have some information on that. You can find the locations and contact information for the SBAs at sba.gov/local. But I honestly haven't heard about that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sure.
This is Stephanie. I wanted to share because I just got an email when I sent these questions out. I just had an email from one of my associates, and she with Burnham Risk, and they deal with property insurance like this, property liability. And she did mention that there was an insurance company that came out with a PPP loan insurance, and that was very interesting because when we looked at it, the insurance, the premium was $100,000. So that was like, how can a small business afford that, you know, loan insurance? So I can share that with you if you
want. Can you share that? Can you please share that with my staff? Because that's the first I hear of it, and I'm curious to see that. Thank you.
Senator, this is Godfrey. Now, the SBA's, that PPP loan is 100% guaranteed by the SBA. So really, there's no need for the business to go out and get insurance. The SBA is giving them 100% guarantee to the lender. So there's no risk to the business.
Yeah. I think it may be if, for example, you apply and it turns out you weren't eligible and you got a loan, and now you got to repay the loan after you spent the money, whether you can insure for that risk. So, but I could be wrong. But that's why we've got experts on the phone. And perhaps if you've got that particular situation where you are concerned about whether you were eligible and nevertheless you got the loan, you can call our office and we'll connect you with somebody smart at the commissioner's office to, you know, talk about that. And you said Ms. Wynyu that may be available. So we'll act as a collection point for that information.
I'll share the information with you when I get, you know, I'll share that after this call with you, Senator Umber. Thank you.
All right. I think it's your turn to ask the question here.
Thank you. Okay. So my next question is, this one is from one of our members too, and he says, my business insurance doesn't renew until November. I know there's going to be an increase. I just don't know how much yet. What is the expected increase for business insurance, such as liability, work comp, et cetera? This is a question for you, Commissioner Arora.
Yes. You know, it's going to take some time to see what the impact of COVID-19 is on our overall insurance system and on the premiums businesses pay. Businesses that are closed or have dramatically reduced payroll, as I said earlier, due to our stay-at-home orders, might see a reduction in workers' comp costs reduced in the short term. That's because, again, of the order that I issued mandating that insurance companies return a portion of your workers' compensation premiums back to businesses. And as I mentioned before, I issued these emergency workers' compensation regulations to make those changes really reflect the lower risk for worker injuries in light of the pandemic. These new regulations will mandate insurance companies to, again, recompute premium charges for policyholders to reflect that reduced risk of loss consistent with my bulletins, and will ultimately result in savings for many policyholders as businesses. So, you know, as I discussed earlier regarding liability, it is important that businesses have that conversation with their agent and insurance company to get guidance regarding how safe to return. So again, you know, it's real too early to see. But I would also say that it's always just a good rule, to shop around every so often so that you can, cross-check and compare prices in terms of insurance, products. And that also keeps, you know, you competitive as a consumer and as a customer of insurance, so that insurance companies can, you know, fight and give you the best deal that they can.
Oh, thank you so much, Commissioner Laura. That's great. I will ask them to shop around with another carrier. That's a great, great answer.
Many people don't do that, and many people just... Right. You know, stay with one insurance company for 30, 40 years and never even bother to kind of just look. And I always just say, as just a good rule, every couple of years, just see what's out there. See what products are out there. See what if your needs have changed, and shop around and make these insurance companies earn your business and have them compete, and you often end up getting lower rates. So I just wanted to throw that in there. Thank you. Sorry for the interruption.
No.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah. I agree. Senator Umberg, may I ask this question? Because actually I didn't realize this is my question for the commissioner.
This is your question. You absolutely, unfortunately, this is our last question. We're about out of time, but I'm glad you're going to ask it because it looked pretty complicated to me. I'm glad you and the commissioner will be able to address it. So go ahead.
Okay. So Commissioner Lauer, I'm, you know, for small group health insurance under 100 in California, right? I noticed the medical rates for fourth quarter is lower than the rates in third quarter. So, you know, I have some clients that are renewing September 1st, and I see that if they just wait for one more month, they could just get low rates. So I checked with insurance companies, and they were told it's on a case-by-case basis if they're going to allow them to move to 10-1, you know, to get those low rates. So I'm just wondering, if small businesses were in this situation, right, could they – I mean, I don't know if you can, but can you ask the carriers to give these companies an exception to change their renewal date to 9-1, from 9-1 to 10-1 for savings with a one-year rate guarantee? Thank you.
Yeah. That is a very specific question.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to be detailed on this one.
No, absolutely. You know, legal requirements confine the term of any health insurance policy to no longer than 1 year. So the renewal date cannot ordinarily be extended or as described in your question. I can tell you that the department is carefully reviewing all insurer rate filings in the small group market to assure that all the rates accurately reflect the current experience and as well as the reasonable assumptions regarding COVID-19 related costs. So we're in the process of looking at these rate filings and making sure that, you know, they really reflect the assumptions regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. And as you know, these costs and as things keep shifting, we keep adding more into these assumptions because we're not knowing really what the long-term impact or short-term impact could be of COVID-19 related costs.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I think we're running out of time.
We are right at the end, but I wanted to give each of you, one, I want to thank each of you. It's been quite informative, certainly for me. So I want to give each of you an opportunity to sign off, and we'll start with Commissioner Lara and then Ms. Nguyen Yu and then Mr. Hines. So Commissioner Lara.
Thank you. Thank you again, Senator Umberg. It's so great to hear your voice. I'm glad your family and you're safe. And thank you for having me this evening to discuss these crucial issues for our small businesses that we are facing. You know, I keep saying insurance can be complicated, and it's complicated for me as your insurance commissioner, you know, but, you know, we know our businesses are their primary concerns, again, keeping those doors open and keeping employees and their customers safe. I just want them to know that as business owners, we are there to be your advocates. Our department is there to help decipher the complexities of insurance. The department can help you and guide you through this process. And we have, again, insurance experts ready to help and answer your questions, like I said, in multiple languages. You're actually talking to an actual person. This is not just a recording. And then all that information, as you call in and we log in those calls, we actually inform the senator about the unique issues that we might be seeing in his specific district. So we keep track of all this information. And I'll tell you, all the helpline has inspired numerous policy changes. It's inspired various law enforcement investigations where we catch fraud, and so our number is really there to be a resource for you. If any consumer or business owner has any issues or questions during this time, or even just as hopefully once we get out of COVID-19, do not hesitate to contact our department again at 1-800-927-4357 or through our website at insurance.ca.gov. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Commissioner. I really appreciate it. I know you're a busy person, and I appreciate you spending time with us. Let me ask Ms. Nguyen Yu if you've got anything.
I do. I want to say goodbye. Thank you, Senator Umberg and Commissioner Lahr and your staff for setting this all up. I hope this town hall was helpful to the business community and hope we have more of these in the future. You know, I want to give out my number, too. Please call me at 949-800-4040 if you have any questions or need any help. I want to say we're all in this together, and we'll get through this. Thank you, Senator.
Well, thank you. And lastly, but not least, Mr. Hines, thank you for being here. Most informative.
Thank you, Senator. It's been an honor and a pleasure. Just remember that the SBA is here 365 days a year. We're here to support our business community, not only during COVID, but post-COVID and beyond. And I'm happy and excited to be here. Look forward to working with you in the future on any webinar or informative session to your constituents. It's been my pleasure. Once again, my number is 714-560-7441 at the SBA office in Santa Ana, California. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thanks to everyone. And a special thank you to our hardworking staff. You can reach us, by the way, at 714-558-3785. Nick Honest and Christy Lee and Richard Santana, thank you so much for organizing this. I hope it was useful to those who are listening in. All right, we're out here.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude your conference for today. Thank you very much for your participation. You may now disconnect.